Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Survivors return as the world remembers Auschwitz 80 years after liberation. About 50 survivors of the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz-Birkenau will return, that's today, to remember the day that it was finally liberated on the 27th of January 1945. They'll be joined by heads of state, including King Charles and other European royalty, Emmanuel Macron of France and German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier. But it'll be the survivors, mostly in the 80s and 90s, not the dignitaries, whose voices will be heard during the commemoration at the camp where 1.1 million people were murdered, most of them Jews. Their message is to tell the world what happened there and to ensure that it never happens again. And yet, have we learned anything? Tali Nait is director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center. Tali, good morning. It's such a painful question to have to ask. Have we learned anything?
So, good morning, Howard. Good morning, the listeners. Of course, very solemn day. Probably the last round anniversary where we actually have survivors. It's very sobering, you know, when you think about it. We knew that it's an end of an era. It's coming, but less than 50 Auschwitz survivors coming. And I think it is right that the Auschwitz Memorial decided to focus not on the leaders, you know, the kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers, but on those survivors. Because when we ask ourselves, did we learn? I think we need to listen to them. You know, we need to listen to them about the creation of that monster, this Auschwitz complex where specially built gas chambers, crematoriums were built. You know, we need to listen to them about human behavior, how people turned against each other, how, you know, babies, kids, women, men were murdered just because they were different. So the question, did we learn, is a tricky one. We learned bad things, such as what is going on around politicization of the Holocaust. You know, and that is worrying with the elections in Germany this month, really worrying. Same sort of words used, same sentiments used. So again, I would say, let's listen to those survivors. It's really important to hear their lived experiences. One last thing that I want to say about the survivors. We said only about 50 survivors coming. 1.1 million were murdered. Most people did not survive Auschwitz. And I think a part of the survivors, we have to think about the victims. We have to think about those that never spoke, never wrote. And these are the majority, not sadly the survivors, which were only some thousands.
Do you think that the use of the word Holocaust, everybody, we don't agree with being a Nazi, the use of the word genocide whenever we don't like something, has that done damage to the memory and to the concept and actually put us in danger of this being trivialized in a way?
It's a really good question because, you know, many times we need to remember the facts, you know, actually the history, you know, Howard, I'm a historian, so I always go back to history, and especially in today, a very significant date. The word genocide never existed before the Holocaust. It was only coined by Raphael Lemkin in his book in 1944, taking really Roman and Greek words, killing of a people, genocide, and putting them together to try and describe what there was no word to describe. So we sometimes forget the origin of words, the actual meaning of words. And of course, genocide, the word genocide, coined, as I said, in 1944, was because of the Holocaust, because Rafael Lemkin, who came from Lvov, Lviv of Ukraine today, Poland then, escaped to New York, but his family was still in Europe. His family was killed. He also reflected on the Armenian genocide. He also reflected on the pogroms of the turn of the century, of the 20th century, Kishinev and others, and coined that word. And then after the Holocaust, so it's all connected to the Holocaust, the United Nations is born. And then there is a discussion, and Rafael Lemkin is pushing for it. He's what we call a nudnik, you know, he's really pushing.
Right, yeah.
And he's bothering everyone to pass the convention that is passed in December 1948 to prevent and punish the crimes of genocide. So we are really looking at 75 years of the convention, and it is difficult, again, if we look at history, the word Holocaust did not was not used until the 1950s. So, you know, we are distorting, we're using words in an emotional way, not in a factual way, and that is worrying. So I think, as a historian, as a museum person, we have resources to go back to the facts, and we should always remember the facts around words, around history, around law, and not go to the emotions, if we can. And that is why museums are so important, to invite you in. And today we will have hundreds of people in the museum. We have schools. We have a Holocaust survivor speaking, exactly to do that, to remind us of what are we talking about.
And of course, the other angle is it's not just emotion. It is designed to use words to politicize the Holocaust, which again is deeply problematic, because it was very words that ultimately lead to it. We've seen the use of cockroaches, the word cockroach as a way to minimize and to rob people of a humanity. That was Rwanda. We've had use of the word vermin and to depersonalize Jews. So words are very, very powerful, aren't they?
Yes.
So how do we protect language then?
Yes. And thank you, Howard, for actually making the connections of words, the importance of words. And people are people. People are not animals. People are not cockroaches or vermin. And wherever it is, we do need to be careful when we use words. And language is important. The Nazis, propaganda machine, but use that through films, through radio, through exhibitions, through the propaganda machine, newspapers, the media, to dehumanize the victims. And sadly, you spoke about Rwanda, but in other cases, like also, but especially Rwanda, but I'm thinking about Cambodia as well. Words were used very much to, again, dehumanize the enemy. That makes it easier for the executioners and for the bystanders to turn away and not to see. Today, Holocaust Remembrance Days, let's go back to the victims, not to see the people, the neighbors, the people that came from next to you in Germany, in Poland, in France, wherever they were, as people, as human beings that were neighbors, your doctors, your butcher, your the person that sold you fish, but to see them as not
people.
Human. And that is such an important lesson for us when we think about what the survivors can tell us, because they can speak about that slippery slope.
Absolutely.
How one day you were the doctor of your neighbors, and the next day you were told, as the neighbor, that this person is not worthy to check you, to treat you, and you stop going. These are very important lessons for us all.
So if you could get across one message on this Holocaust, International Holocaust Memorial Day, if there was one thing that you wanted people to take away from today, what is that message?
So because it is most probably the last round anniversary, and we're talking 80 years, 80 years is a long, long time. It's not anymore in living memory. It becomes history. You know, it is for me, go back, think, and be, I would say, critical thinker. In other words, don't just repeat, go to the facts, go learn, listen to the witnesses, because you can still do that. In South Africa, we only have 14 witnesses, survivors. Go and listen to them and learn the story of the Holocaust and the legacy of the Holocaust, if you can also learn the lessons of the Holocaust.
That is where we leave it. 8:50 for Tali Nates, Director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center.